This will be the third week, and we should finish up the introduction here today, so, and it'll be into verse by verse throughout Matthew. So we'll go ahead and pray and then get into the message. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the building here that we can come and stay out of the rain, Lord. And we pray for some rain, Lord. The farmers are around here all over are saying that we need it, that the ground is pretty dry. And we pray that you'd send some, Lord. And Father, we pray that today our hearts would be touched. We would see some truths in your words, Lord, that we would apply them right. And not take things out of context throughout your words, Lord. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Last week, we were going through a little bit on Daniel's 70th week, or 70th weeks. And the reason we're doing this is because it's important to understand the time frame that we're in as we're going through the book of Matthew. And Jesus is born sometime in Daniel's 64th week. And week of Daniel's 70 weeks of prophecy. He's cut off after the 69th week, according to Daniel 9. We'll start off in Daniel 9 here. We'll just go ahead and read it again. Daniel 9:24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression. We went through a little bit about that last week. That's the where Israel rebelled against God, and they didn't want God as their king, and they wanted a king of the earth. And like the other nations, they wanted to be like them. And then they rejected Jesus Christ in the Gospels, and they reject the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. And to make an end of sins. Has this happened yet? People are still sinning. The Jews are still sinning. So this hasn't happened yet. And to make reconciliation for iniquity. Now, he's made reconciliation for iniquity for the born-again believer. But as far as the nation of Israel is concerned, it hasn't happened yet. It hasn't happened yet. Okay, know therefore and understand from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troubled times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. So it's after 62 weeks plus the 7 that he just mentioned. That's 69 weeks. So you don't have Jesus Christ dying. It doesn't look like he's dying in the 69th week. It says after. It says after. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. But not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood. Now I made a comment last week about this next verse that we're going to go through here. The end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now, a lot of people say that this Antichrist, when he confirms the covenant, that's when Daniel's 70th week starts. But as you'll see, we're going to go through a little bit of scriptures here. We'll see that there's some discrepancies as to the days. How many days are in a year? And it's a great discrepancy, enough to where people might say, oh, God doesn't know what he's talking about. There's a contradiction in the Bible. And people won't give God the benefit of the doubt. They'll rely on their own mind and their own thoughts, but they won't give God the benefit of the doubt here. So we'll go over in Daniel 8. Daniel 8 here. We'll look at some stuff. Verse 13, Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days. Then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Okay, if you divide 7 years up, what do you get? What do you get? Doesn't add up to 2,300 days. It does not add up to 2,300 days. Go to Daniel 12. There's another verse in Daniel 12. The Bible says in verse 10, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abominations that make it desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 and 30 days. Now you see all these days in here? There's days that don't add up. Go with me to Revelation 11 and 12. You have some more days here. Can't find it. Number 11? Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, there it is. But the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. And I will give power unto the two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. So there's a lot of days here that when you start dividing them up, if you make Daniel's 70th week begin when the Antichrist makes his covenant, you don't have a full 3.5 years and 3.5 years. They won't add up. It just will not add up. So if you give God the benefit of the doubt, hey, Messiah is cut off after 69 weeks. How long after? It doesn't tell us, but it does tell us after 69 weeks. So there's a possibility that it went a few more days or whatever the discrepancy is here. Not only that, but there's a possibility that Israel, the time didn't stop until they rejected in the book of Acts. And that's what it appears to be. Time keeps going all the way to the book of Acts. When that Jew is cut off is when they reject the ministry of the Holy Spirit through Stephen. And so if you give God the benefit of the doubt, the time does not have to start when the Antichrist starts his covenant. He can break that covenant off in the midst. In the midst doesn't necessarily mean right dead center in the middle. So he can still have a 3.5 year ministry and not be a complete 7 years when he starts his covenant. He can still, the end of his ministry still can last 3.5 years, and there's not 3.5 years in the beginning, right up front. Some time has gone by, some days is missed. So if we give God the benefit of the doubt, we will not take his words and start thinking in our heads that God doesn't know what he's talking about. Look at all these numbers. They just don't add up. We can't figure them out. Then they start changing the Bible to match what they want to believe. Okay, now the only way I see it is giving God the benefit of the doubt. Hey, time could still be moving. In the book of Matthew, after he's cut off, time can still be moving. It says he's cut off after 69 weeks. We don't know how long, so time can still be moving, and God can still be dealing with Israel, which he still is in the book of Acts. Then, when the book of Acts is done, the signs are cut off. They're no longer giving any signs to that Jew. It's a good indication that time has stopped. Okay. We're still going to go reading through Daniel here a little bit. Go through Daniel. Daniel 9. So the Jews are still sinning. We see that today. Men are still sinning. We've got everlasting righteousness as far as a born-again believer is concerned. Hey, he's got Jesus Christ's righteousness. That's everlasting. But according to, as far as the nation of Israel is concerned, He hasn't gotten right yet. He doesn't have the promise yet. He hasn't received Jesus Christ yet. And he's not going to do that until the end of the tribulation. Israel's not cleansed until the second coming. Joel 3:21. Joel 3:21, the Bible says, "For I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Lord dwelleth in Zion." It says right here, "But Judah shall dwell forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation, for I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed." This hasn't happened yet. They have not received him yet. And so it's important to get this and concentrate as you're going through the book of Matthew. As you're going through the book of Matthew, you concentrate on the nation of Israel, and you don't concentrate on the church. The church is mentioned one time. There's a word church mentioned one time in the book of Matthew, Matthew 16. But that's referring to something later on. When a person starts confusing the church with the kingdom of heaven, you end up either a Romanist or a paganist. And you look throughout all the ages when Rome wants to bring in a kingdom. They want to bring in this kingdom. And if you don't believe the way they want you to believe, and if you don't accept the terms that they have dished out, they're going to kill you. And that's why you have Christians being martyred still in the third world countries. Why? They don't have as much Bible as we have in this country. They don't have enough of the knowledge of the Bible over there. They think it's okay. They can get away with it. Over here, it's not so easy to get away with killing Christians right out in the open. But in these other countries, it is still. And that's why it's still going on. And it's going to keep going on. And they say, one way or another, we're going to bring this kingdom in. And if you stand in our way, your head's going to be chopped off. We don't need you. Book of Daniel again. 9:24. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to 9:25, I'm sorry. To the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah, the prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again in the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince. Who's the people of the prince? It's the Romans. That shall come shall destroy the city. They destroyed the city in 70 AD with Titus. And the end thereof shall be with a flood. Revelations 12:13-16. I don't know if it's literal. I'm almost going down the notion that these are people coming after the Israelites. Just as Pharaoh was coming after the Israelites as Moses was leading them out of Egypt. So Israel, those that believe, when God says, get out of the city, when you see this, and they start running into the wilderness, into the desert, there's going to be people running after them, coming after them. And if they'll keep their eyes on the Lord and keep their eyes on what God said and believe what God said, they'll make it. If they don't believe God, they're not going to make it. Revelation 12. My grammar. 12:13-16. 13-16. And when the dragon saw that he was cast under the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness. Into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half time, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water. Is that literal? I could see somebody saying, hey, go get them. Grab them. I don't know if that's literal here. Cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman. If they keep their eyes on the Lord, that desert will swallow up the people or swallow up the water. It'll be gone. God will take care of them. Swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And so when it says here in Daniel, the end, you'll see it. You'll see it, and you'll see it all throughout the Bible. The end, the end. When you see that end, then you know that what the Lord is talking about, he's talking about the end of Daniel's 70 weeks of prophecy. When he's talking the end, almost 99% of the time that he says that in the Bible, he's talking about that prophecy coming to an end. Okay, when does this happen? There's some stuff that give us a little determination of when it happens. When is the end of Daniel's 70th week? Well, we know. I mean, the Jews are in the desert, and they see this light. They see a sign from heaven, a great light, and Jesus is coming back. But when does the tribulation actually start? When does God start picking up his dealings with the Jew again? He starts picking them up with the Jew again, and it looks pretty clear to me. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. The Bible says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel." Now that's pretty interesting that is there. That's in that verse. It's right in there together. And with the trump of God and the dead in Christ shall rise first. It's right in the middle of the verse. Who's this voice of the archangel? Go back to Daniel 12. The Bible says right here in Daniel 12, "And at that time," 12:1, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." So it appears, I mean, there's commas in there, but it appears as though that at about the same time that God calls the church out, at about the same time, Michael stands up and starts talking. And Michael stands for the nation of Israel. And so it appears as though as soon when he starts talking, time begins for Israel again. That's when it appears to be, that's when the time appears to be starting, not when the Antichrist makes his covenant for 7 years, because he breaks it. He breaks his covenant. All right. From Malachi to Matthew, there's a space of about 400 years. And through most of the 400 years, that Jew has been in bondage. They were in bondage to Babylon and Assyria. And then they were conquered by the Persians, then the Greeks, then Egyptians, then Syria. And then there was about 104 years where they weren't in bondage. It was called the independence or something in that nature. And then the Romans conquer them. Okay? And this is the time frame. You're in a period of time. They are a conquered people. They're supposed to be the head of the nations, and they're the tail. They're conquered. And by the time Jesus shows up, Israel's expecting this great king to come and rescue them. And they reject Jesus Christ. They reject his method to deliver them. And they go into bondage for another 2,000 years. And so it's probably safe to say that at the time that time stops for Israel, whoever they were in bondage with, when it begins back up again, they'll be in bondage to the same people, the Romans. Matthew begins with Christ's birth in Daniel's 64th week and ends with Christ's ministry after the 69th week. Christ's ministry lasts 3.5 years. And you'll find the devil duplicates this. He duplicates it with the 3.5 years of ministry at the end of the tribulation. John starts out in Matthew 3:2. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And you know what the Lord's prayer is. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, or in earth as it is in heaven. That's in found in Matthew 6:10. Matthew 6:10. We can go there if you like. Matthew 6:10. The will of the Father is done in the earth. It's not done until the millennium. So Matthew is the presentation of the kingdom to whom the kingdom is promised. It's not promised. That's not a kingdom to the church. It doesn't say thy church become. It says thy kingdom come. That's the will of the Father. So it's like this. This is what you have. You have Jesus on a bus. He's on a bus, and the nation of Israel hop on the bus when he comes, and he's telling them, hey, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And they're saying, yeah, let's bring the kingdom in. He says, gentlemen, we got to do something first here. We got to do something first. And he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He says, you have to get right first. Repent. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And so they say, well, Jesus, we don't want none of that. I mean, we thought you were going to bring it in our way. We're not hearing smooth things anymore. So they press the emergency button on the bus. The bus comes to a screeching halt. They get off the bus, and Jesus goes right down the road. Keeps going. He's still got the same destination in mind. Jews don't have that destination anymore. They have their own destination in mind. He keeps going down. He goes to Calvary. He was going to go there anyway. It's prophesied. He can't not fulfill prophecy. And then he's still got the same destination in mind. The will of the Father with the kingdom of heaven on this earth. You know what Jesus comes to a man? He comes to a man and says, hey, come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And the man says, what do you mean, Jesus? What do you mean? I never killed anybody. I go to church. I go to church every week. I heard all about Jesus in church. I don't drink. In fact, I grew up in a Christian home, Jesus. I got it all under control. And that's what the man says. And just like that, the Jew, they get off the bus. They miss Jesus Christ's righteousness. So does an unsaved man when Jesus comes to him and says, hey, listen, you got to repent. Your works aren't going to get you there. Your going to church isn't going to get you there. And he doesn't repent, and he can't see. He can't see the righteousness of God, and that's Jesus Christ. He can't see. He's got to get through Jesus. He's got to come to Jesus and get in his righteousness. Otherwise, he isn't going to see the kingdom of God. So you've got the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. They're different. They're not spelled the same. The kingdom of God is a spiritual, moral, righteous kingdom. God is said to be a spirit in John 4:24. John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Hey, can you see a spirit? No. It's invisible. Luke 17:20-21. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. You can't see it. It's invisible. Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. How about the kingdom of heaven? Is that a visible kingdom? The birds fly in it. Genesis. There's said to be thrones in the third heaven. So is it a physical kingdom? Yes, it's a physical kingdom. It's visible, it's literal, it's physical, it's Jewish. And Matthew is showing you this. It's a Jewish kingdom. It's not to the Gentile. You'll see that when we get into Matthew 10. It's not to the Gentile. Matthew is the 40th book of the Bible. 40. What did the Israelites do in the wilderness for 40 years? They wandered. So 40 is a period of testing. And so when Jesus comes, hey, Matthew's in the 40th book of the Bible. It's a testing to Israel to see if they're ready for the kingdom. And then it's proven that they're not ready. Here's a breakdown of the chapters leading to Israel's rejection of their Messiah. Chapter 1 is the genealogy of a king. Chapter 2 is the birth of a king. Chapter 3 is the herald of the king, John the Baptist. Chapter 4, the preparation of the king. And that's where Jesus is being tested in the wilderness. Well, how long is he in there for? 40 days before he starts the testing starts? 5-7 is the constitution of the kingdom. Chapters 8-9, credentials of the king. That's where he begins to heal. That's where he begins to cast out devils. Chapter 10 is the message of the kingdom. Is sent out. It's sent out to the apostles, given to the apostles, and they're commanded not to go in the way of the Gentiles. Which shows you, again, it's a Jewish book. It's for the Jew. Chapter 11 is the rejection of their Messiah. They reject him. They reject his message. Chapter 12 is the unpardonable sin. And that's when the Jews say that Jesus Christ casts out devils by Beelzebub. And that's where Israel's fate is sealed. God shuts the door on them there as far as Christ's ministry to the Jew. He starts speaking in parables from then on. And as far as the ministry to the nation of Israel, it's over with. Now Jesus will reveal, he'll reveal the parables to his followers. Go with me in verse Matthew 13:10-14. It says, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they, seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. Now that can happen to a Christian in this age, a Gentile in this age. they choose not to see the Bible, they choose not to see the Word of God, they're not going to get it. God will give the message to somebody else. The choice is yours. God is selective. When a man gets out and he starts getting into his own righteousness and he gets proud, God starts getting selective. Hey, he pulls out a people for himself. He uses Jacob. And the nation of Israel comes out of Jacob. He's got one Bible. He's got one way of salvation. He's got one way to heaven. Okay, Matthew starts out to the Jew. And then in Matthew 15:21, there's a hint that the Gentiles are going to get in on the blessings and promises that were promised to Israel. Matthew 15:22. We all know the story. We're going to look at it, though. Matthew 15:21. Then Jesus went thence and departed in the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast. Now, no doubt this woman had been following Jesus for a while, because it says she came out of the same coast that he came out of. And there's a lot of rough terrain where he's going. The nights are cold. And this woman keeps pushing on and pushing on. And she was diligent. She sought after the Lord and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." Look at here. He calls her, "Thou son of David." He calls him Lord first, then he calls him, "Thou son of David." What's this book? This book is a Jewish book. It's written to the Jews. Now, where'd she get this? Where'd she get this information? Huh? She probably started asking questions when she started hearing of the miracles Jesus was doing. And she knows she's got this daughter. This daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And she's gone to doctors. She's gone everywhere she can try to get help. She can't find anybody that'll help her. Then she hears of Jesus, who is claiming to be the son of David. Ooh, I'll put that in my little file up here. You see, the Gentiles seek after knowledge. The Jews seek after the sign. So she's got a little bit of knowledge up there in her head. She probably heard from everybody talking. And she started believing. She believed that, what was said to her. And she cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." She acknowledges him as Lord and as the son of David, which is a kingdom, it's a kingdom message. It's a kingdom term. So she says, "My daughter's grievously vexed with the devil." You know the condition of that Jew when Jesus comes on this earth? They got devils. They're possessed with devils. They're sickly. And here comes this Gentile woman and her daughter's vexed with the devil. Sickly. And she's coming to Jesus. She's coming to Jesus the way Jesus wants that Jew to come to him. But the Jew won't have anything to do with them. So he shows you, hey, the Gentile that comes the way that I want them to come, they'll get in on the blessing. And so what do you have in the Old Testament? You have Gentiles coming into the Jewish faith. What do they become? Jewish proselytes? Here you have a Gentile woman coming the way Jesus wants the Jew to come. And she gets in on the blessing. Why? Because she believes what he wants that Jew to believe. So she gets to get in. The woman is receiving him, and he hasn't even spoken a word yet. But he answered her not a word, the Bible says. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." You see, Jesus just told the disciples in Matthew 10, don't go to the Gentile. And he didn't go to her. She came to him. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Now Jesus doesn't say anything, and then he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him. The Jew won't worship him. He's about had all he can stand. Look at when Joseph was in the Old Testament and his brothers came to him. That, I'll tell you what, folks. He can't hardly stand this anymore. Just like Joseph with his brothers couldn't, he had to leave the room. He can't hardly stand it. So she says, what verse are we in here? Then came she and worshiped him, 25, saying, Lord, help me. She called on the name of the Lord. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. She was tested two times here. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. You see, she started out with just believing what was said about Jesus. And she went to Jesus and applied. She believed, even though he's calling her a dog, even though he won't talk to her, he won't look at her, and she's believing what she heard about him. So he says, great is thy faith. All she had was that little bit. Look at that great grain of mustard seed. All she had was a little bit. It turned into a great faith. In the Old Testament, you had the Gentiles that could come in, become Jewish proselytes if they came God's way. But because she's coming, receiving Jesus as Lord, thou Son of David, she's coming the way God wanted that Jew to come. And Jesus is a Jew, and this woman is coming his way. And that shows you if you come God's way, you can get in. You can get in. Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But you got to come his way. You can't come your own way. The Jews wanted to go their own way. And they missed out. And they're going to keep missing out until they get right in the tribulation. And there's going to be a lot of judgment that comes down on them to get them right. A lot of people have gone to hell since then. So what you have in Matthew is you're going to see that Jesus pounds on those religious leaders more than he does in any other book of the Gospels. Why? Because they had a responsibility to the Jews and they didn't do it. So he's going to really pound on the leaders, and you'll see that in the book of Matthew. Yeah, we're done. So, yeah. Number one, genealogy of the king. Two, birth of the king. Is that all you needed? Okay. So we'll stop there, and the next time we'll get into verse 1 of the chapter of Matthew, and Lord willing, see what happens. All right, we'll go ahead and pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Father in heaven, we thank you for the time spent here, Lord, in your words. And Lord, if I've said anything wrong, I pray that you'd show me the wrong, and I'd get it right. And we pray that your word would just penetrate our hearts, Lord, and change us the way you want us to be. For Christ's sake, we pray, amen.